Hey guys, it's Kim Melia here, and I'm very excited to talk to you about really getting out there and becoming the legal shield lady or the legal shield man in your community. And what does that really look like to you? Well, let me just tell you, first of all, when I first got started in Legal Shield, I really didn't have a lot of business background, and I didn't have a lot of, sales background or networking background. And I really felt intimidated being at the age of 23 years old, and I really didn't know who to talk to. And my warm market really didn't have a lot of people that I thought would be, that were that interested. I guess I prejudged somewhat. But at the same time, I wanted to expand my market. I wanted to expand my circle of influence. And somebody came up to me one day and told me about networking events and told me about places where you can actually meet people, where you can, build relationships and friendships and partnerships and help each other. And really, bottom line is, you get out there to people who are your cold market, and eventually they become your warm market. And it's about building, trust and respect. And, people will do business with who they know, like, and trust. And so I went out there and I said, okay, what is it that I need to do to become that Legal Shield person in my community where people know what I do? And how do I brand myself? And how do I brand my business? And how do I keep my doors open and keep expanding that circle of influence? For me, I really wanted to get out there and network. And for me, one of the things that I loved about this is that you can do this from anywhere. I started my business when I was in Toronto. I moved to San Diego just a few short years after the business got started. After San Diego, I moved to Wilmington, North Carolina, and now I'm back in San Diego, and I also currently live in Guatemala part-time about 3 or 4 months out of the year, and I can do this business anywhere. I can do it anywhere, absolutely, and what's great about it is you can network anywhere. Nowadays, it's so easy to find people to talk to, and so one of the things that I did and that I recommend for everybody to do, if you're not a networker, and I'm not talking about a network marketer, I'm talking about a networker in your community, I'm talking about, getting out there and attending 3 to 4 networking events in 1 month. If you've never done them before, I suggest you do that in 1 month. Now, I know some of you might be saying, hey, listen, I'm full-time, I got a full-time job and I really don't have a lot of time to go out to these networking events. The great thing about these networking events is that they actually can be early in the morning at 7 a.m. They can be after you work. They're called sundowners in some areas from 5 to 7 o'clock. And there's a lot of places that have luncheons too. So you just try to fit into your schedule what you can. Then eventually just pick 1 or 2 that you're going to go to on a very consistent basis. My number one tip in this whole training is you must be consistent. People have to see you all the time out at the same event so you can build that, the like and the trust and the respect there. And I do suggest that you go with a buddy. If you possibly can, like in Toronto, these events, some of them were 50, some of them were 200 or 300. And first of all, just going with a buddy and have somebody to work out with is fun, right? This business can be a lot of fun and keep it in that game. So I like to make sure I do that. But one of the things that Steve and I, when we went out to a networking event, I love this story because it goes to show you, what the power of having a buddy at an event is. Steve, frankly, I'll be honest with you, he really didn't want to go. And I said, hey, listen, let's do this. This is part of what we do. And he said, okay, I'm just going to go hang out at the bar and, have a drink there. And I said, that's perfect because that's what we do at sundown, or that's what we do at the event. It's one of the things that we do is get to know people. And so I went around and I worked the room, and he stayed close to the bar and was obviously talking to the other people that were close to the bar, hanging out at the bar. And happened that we met, he met a lady named Tammy and Fernando, a gentleman named Fernando, and Tammy actually had her identity stolen. And so on Steve's name tag, I put identity theft specialist on his name tag, and mine was Legal Shield. And so he got a lot of people coming up to him asking about the identity theft, and this one lady who had it really bad for her, it was just a horrible experience. It was, before even identity theft was even heard about, for 6 years, her identity was compromised, and it was horrible. But, the reason why I'm telling you the story is because Fernando and Tammy introduced us to another lady named Kim May in San Diego, and it led us to Lisa Donath, and it led us to a whole entire organization that is just incredible and has achieved the executive director position. Now, if we didn't go to that event because Steve said, hey, I don't want to go, and then I said, well, I don't want to go either, we would have lost so much money and so many great relationships formed and partnerships. We're still friends with them all today, and that organization is doing wonderful. So go with a buddy because it helps and it makes it, I think, a little bit more fun too. You know, so when you go and look for events, like some of you are saying, well, you know, where do I go? How do I find them? They're really easy to find now on the internet. The information's out there. You can simply just go to meetups. That's one place to go. And meetups has so many different things that you can go to, from, you know, a woman's networking event to stay-at-home networking mamas events to busy executives networking events to sales networking events. So many different things. You can go to chambers, Google, just Google networking in my area, you know, networking in San Diego or whatever it is. BNIs and LaTips, those are more leads groups, and those are greats too. How about Rotary Clubs, Lions Club, nonprofit organizations that you might belong to or that you want to belong to, church, your gym, hobbies, all that. You know, another tip here, what I would suggest is to get more involved in whatever it is that you're doing in your community. So, in other words, you know, if you're with a chamber, you might become an ambassador. You know, with your nonprofit organization, you might go out and do more things for that. Also with the chamber, you might be part of the ribbon cutting. Whenever there's a store that opens or a new business that opens, you go and be involved in that. Your picture's in the paper and there's a little write-up. Again, you're getting yourself branded out there in the community. You know, again, you know, you might get involved in church just a little bit more. You know, I used to say, don't do your hobbies. I was so fanatical when I got started in Legal Shield. I thought all you should be doing is Legal Shield. You shouldn't be doing anything else but Legal Shield. And the reality is your pipeline comes from your hobbies, comes from things that you enjoy doing. So let's talk about, like, when you get to these events, what does it look like? Well, first of all, I want you to be yourself. Yes, I want you to be professional, obviously, but I want you to be yourself. I want you to have fun and enthusiasm. These things are fun to go to. People really just let loose at some of these events, especially if it's a after event, a sundowner event or whatnot. You know, they really just want to get to know you. They do want referrals, and they do want to obviously do business. But a lot of the time, they just want to have new friendships with people, and you never know where that's going to lead you. So one of the things that you could do is always be prepared. And this is, you know, whether it's a weekly meeting or whether it's your Super Saturdays, but definitely when you're out there prospecting, is always be prepared. Have your DVDs, your CDs, your brochures, your applications. But I'll tell you what, I don't bring those things into my networking events. I have them in my car and I have my business cards with me. I also usually have a promotional thing for my nonprofit organization. And so I'll bring those in with me. If I have a conversation with somebody and it leads to me eventually giving them a DVD, a CD, a brochure, an application, I'll get it from the car at the end of the event. My job at this event, okay, the objective at every networking event that you attend is to make 3 to 5 new friends. It's not to make 50 new friends. It's not to slam the DVD into everybody's hands and give them brochures and tell them how exciting, you know, Legal Shield is, although you'll eventually get there because you'll be seeing these people consistently over time. But you are the one who wants to be asking the questions, right? The person who's asking the questions and getting to know that person is really the person who's in charge of the conversation. And so it doesn't mean that you don't talk about Legal Shield. Just, you know, if they ask you a question about it, give your quick 30-second testimonial about the membership or the lifestyle that's been able to provide you or whatnot, but turn the question back to them. Always turn the question. People love to talk about their business. People love to talk about themselves. In other words, be interested, not interesting, okay? And I'm not saying to be boring at the same time here at all, but I'm saying really be the one who's actively engaging in conversations and asking questions and getting to know people. It will help you long-term to know their hot buttons. And what are hot buttons? That means that's when you can go back later and schedule a sit down. And so doing a sit down presentation is obviously the objective of what you really want to do, because, you know, when I'm going to be sitting and meeting people and I've got 3 to 5 new friends, I can go home and the next day follow up with them and I can say to them, hey, listen, it was really great to know you, Joe, and I look forward to helping you out with your business. I'd like to get to know it a little bit more. I think we had some great conversation. How about we sit down for coffee, you know, for half an hour and, you know, you do a 15-minute presentation on what you do and I'll do a 15-minute presentation on what I do and we'll see how we can have a partnership and if we can help each other with any referrals. And that's the objective here. So obviously following up is very important, just as important as building that relationship, because these are the people that you will build those strong relationships with. So after you've been to a networking event, after you've got your list of your warm market, your networking folks and whatnot, you've got your list in front of you, right? And we're talking about now working the phones. We're talking about contacting, inviting. I'm going to talk about that and give you some great tips on that. So number one for contacting, inviting is to set up a time to do your calls. You know, you obviously need a date, a time to do those calls on a weekly basis. We always think that Sunday night is one of the most fantastic times to do a contacting, inviting for the weekly meetings and whatnot that you have going on is simply because, I don't know if you're like me, but when I had to go back to work for the bank on Sunday, as a matter of fact, it started on Saturday, I would get that really gross, ugly, yucky feeling in my stomach that I had to go back to work. And I dreaded every time that it came. And I just didn't want to go back to work. And so Sundays is a lot of the time when people are feeling the same way I felt. And this is a good time to, you know, maybe give them another alternative, maybe give them something to think about, give them something to watch, give them something to listen to that could really, you know, change that feeling that I had. And now it's turned into a great feeling, obviously. So set up a time to do the calls and, you know, make sure that you can fit it into your schedule. So if it's not on a Sunday night, you don't have to do Sunday night. It could be like on your way to work after you drop off the kids to school and you've got that half an hour time, you're working the phones that time. It could be during your break. You have 15 minutes. You're going to take a quick 5 minutes to eat and you're going to take the next 10 minutes to make some calls. You could do it at your lunch hour. You could do it right when you're leaving from your work to home to make dinner or wherever it is, you've got to make the time to do the calls. Something to invite to, right? We've got to have something to invite to. Sometimes we get on the phone and we don't even know what we're inviting to. We're like, I'm not really sure. So is it a weekly meeting you're inviting them to? Is it a private business reception you're inviting them to? Is it a weekly luncheon you're inviting them to? Private conference call, live call, sizzle call, whatever it might be, just be prepared and know exactly what you're inviting them to. Make sure that you have a list of names to talk to. You want these phone calls to be approximately 3 to 5 minutes, no longer, really under 5 minutes, I would say for sure. You don't want to have to explain everything about Legal Shield. That's why we have sizzle calls and conference calls. But people tend to sometimes ask you more questions. And when we're excited, we want to actually answer all those questions. And the worst thing that we could do is not use third party and not give a full presentation, you know, where the person can really make their own adult decision by seeing everything outlined by the professionals on the DVD, CD, or conference calls. So don't say anything until you can say everything. In other words, that they can watch the DVD, listen to the CD, you know, you want to let the professionals do it for you. And also be yourself. Have fun. It's so normal to be nervous. It's so normal to pick up the phone, or even before you pick up the phone, you don't even want to pick up the phone because you're so nervous, right? And it's normal, but try to just be you. I know that sometimes that's hard when you're so nervous because you want to have a few, obviously, points and notes, and you want to have like maybe your 30-second testimonial to tell. So if they do ask you a question about, well, what is Legal Shield? You can say, well, this is what Legal Shield means to me, and tell them a membership story. You know, that's interesting, but again, keep it short and brief, but have fun and be yourself. You're not a salesperson. You're not an attorney. You're not a lawyer. You don't know the law. It's okay to learn and earn. If somebody asks you a question and you feel very intimidated or you don't know the answer, just say, "Hey, I'm new. I don't really know the answer to that question. I can put you on with my business partner who's been in business with the company for X amount of years and whatnot." So just know that you're in business for yourself, but not by yourself. You always have third party, and that's why we use third party. The more that we use the tools and events, and the more that we keep things simple, the more that every single person can be massively successful here in Legal Shield. Another thing when contacting, inviting, make sure you use their hot buttons. Maybe they want to take a vacation. Maybe they want to move. Maybe they love money and they're all about money, and that's a great hot button. Maybe they love to help people. You know, people like that, I would actually introduce Legal Shield to them, but I might even introduce my lifestyle as to how I've been able to open up a nonprofit organization called Work, Play, Love and go to Guatemala. You know, my 13th trip, I've gone, you know, I spent 4 months there last year. I might talk about stuff like that because that is going to intrigue them to go, wow, how are you able to do that? How can you take 4 months out of your life and go to Guatemala and serve at an orphanage and build an orphanage? How could you do that? That's amazing. And then you say, well, it happened through this amazing Legal Shield opportunity. That's a great opener. So make sure that you know their hot buttons. Create a sense of urgency. Obviously, you know, you don't want to send a link to somebody, or you don't want to give a DVD to somebody, or put them, give them a sizzle call and not have a sense of urgency. You want to tell them, hey, listen, if I give you this DVD, if I give you you this CD, if I send you this link, will you promise me that you'll watch it in the next 24 hours or you'll listen to it in the next 24 hours? And what does that put on them? It just puts on a little bit of, you know, obviously sense of urgency, but they see the commitment and dedication and the passion that you have that sense of urgency. Like, wow, she really wants me to watch it. He really wants me to listen to that. There must be something in it. I should go and do it. And it creates that, you know, really that curiosity that people love. Use a fear of loss, I think, is a really big thing. You know, if you're inviting maybe to an event or something like that, you can say, hey, listen, I really do only have a few seats left, and I want to make sure that you're one of the people that can attend. This train is moving really fast. We're in really massive momentum. You want to come and join along with us right now. You got to have enthusiasm, right? You've got to have enthusiasm. The last four letters of enthusiasm is IASM. I am sold myself. Invite in pairs is one of the other things that I love about contacting inviting. It's one of the tips that I think that people miss out on. And what does that mean? It means, you know, when you're maybe confirming or when you're inviting, either one, and you basically tell them and say, hey, listen, I do actually have another spot open. I don't know if you prefer or you would like to have your business partner, your spouse, another friend that you respect in business, or somebody that you know might be interested as well. I would love for you to be able to bring that person with you. So let me know if you have somebody to come, because obviously I want to make sure I have that front row seat for you or whatever it might be, and not might not be a front row seat, but it's so important to invite in pairs. I mean, you want to double your, you know, your guest count. How simple is that? Especially when they're, you know, a little bit intimidated to go to a meeting at a hotel or to sit down with you, even at a sit down presentation, I would still ask them to invite their business partner or somebody that respect or their spouse with them as well. Because the truth is, a lot of people, you know, they might say to you, hey, I got to go home and talk to my spouse. I got to go home and talk to my business partner, whatever it might be. Wouldn't it be nice to have that person right there so they don't have to spend an extra week looking at the DVD, talking to their spouse? It just works out great. And here's another thing that happens. Become a great storyteller. Your testimonial on your membership and your lifestyle is everything. You know, even if you've been in just a few weeks in Legal Shield, if you haven't even made the millions and thousands, obviously, yet in Legal Shield, you have a great story. Think about the personal development, how it's already helped you. Think about, you know, the mentors that you have. Think about the story, maybe how you use Legal Shield or how somebody that you marketed Legal Shield to, how it's helped them and their family. Maybe somebody who you signed up in the business is massively successful and you tell their story as well. Just know that becoming a good storyteller is one of the keys to contacting inviting. But keep those stories short. You don't need to tell your 5-minute membership story. I would suggest to try to keep it down to a good minute. And you might want to practice that. That's a place where you actually might want to write it out, say it out loud to yourself, tape yourself a little bit, because you want to keep it sweet and short and to the point. Okay, we're on our last two for contacting inviting. So have a workout partner, what I would call a backer. You know, a workout partner is somebody who has your back and you have their back. Think about it. You go to the gym. I go to the gym and I have my personal trainer. I've had a personal trainer for many, many years. That was one of my goals when I became an executive director, that I would have a personal trainer. I'm happy to say for the last 16 years, I've pretty much almost every single week have a personal trainer. And I love that. But it just gives you that extra push. It gives you that extra energy. It gives you that extra little something that you probably wouldn't have done unless somebody has bumped you a little bit and helped you along that way. And that's what a workout partner is. It's not somebody that you get on the phone with every day and you gossip about Legal Shield and you say this and that. It's a person that it's like, you know, Mike and Steve, when they first got started, they're workout partners, obviously. You know, they were together all the time talking about what works, what didn't work. But most of all, they were talking about how many people do we expose today? How many times did the Legal Shield story be told on our behalf today? Not just by them, but on our behalf. How many exposure did you personally get out? How many follow-ups did you personally do? These are easy conversations, and it's just nice to have somebody to reflect upon, to talk to, encourages you. You encourage them. It's a fantastic thing. Workout partners usually talk about once a day. I know texting's in, so texting could be a thing that you do too, but it's always nice to hear a voice. And so just make sure you have a workout partner. How do you get a workout partner? You become the best workout partner. You ask yourself in the mirror, would I want to be sponsored by me? That's what you should be asking yourself. And that's when you know you probably are a really good workout partner. Because yeah, I'm doing all the things. I'm core. I'm 10 core commitments. I do them in and out. I'm consistent. I'm persistent. I want to go to the next level. Be persistent. Don't be pushy. When you're contacting, inviting everybody, you want to make sure that you're persistent, okay? So in other words, if you feel like that you're pushing the membership too much, or you're pushing them to see something too much, or you're just feeling uncomfortable, you probably are. So just take a step back. Meet the person where they're at. There's a difference between, you know, getting somebody somebody enthusiastic and somebody and using fear of loss and the sense of urgency. And there's a difference between that and pushing something on somebody. So just be very, very cautious of it. Be aware of it. And if you feel like people are feeling that you're pushing it up against them, you know, maybe just kind of listen to the words you're saying. Use different words. Maybe listen to somebody else. There's no need to contact and invite if you don't follow up, right? So once these people are contacting and invited to an event, obviously they go to the event, the sit down, the watch the link, the DVD, whatever it might be. What's next? Well, we got to follow up. Check out these stats. From Notre Dame University, these came out. 44% of salespeople quit trying after their first call. So they quit following up after their first call. 24% quit after the second call. 14% quit after the third call. And 12% quit trying to sell their prospects after their fourth call. Now, check this out. This means that 94% of all salespeople quit after the fourth call, but 60% of all sales are made after the fourth call. This revealing statistic shows that 94% of all salespeople don't give themselves a chance at 60% of the prospective buyers. So you may have the capacity, but you have to also have the tenacity, right? To be successful, you have to ask, 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 and it shall be given to you. Don't be afraid to ask for the sale. I know it can be intimidating, but these stats show it right here. And follow up. Again, don't be pushy, but at the same time, you need to follow up because it's professional. So, you know, what do? We ask the person, what's the best way to follow up with you? So if I'm at a networking event and I say, hey, listen, I really want to be able to sit down with you for 30 minutes and just, you know, you tell me exactly more about your business. I'll tell you about my business. And we could do that and see how we possibly could have a partnership here or some kind of referrals. Tell me the best way that I could follow up with you to book that through email, text, or phone call, AM or PM. What's the best way to make an appointment? And again, what am I doing? I'm meeting them where they're at, where they're comfortable and where I feel comfortable. So following up isn't going to be any strange thing for me to do at all. You want to have some kind of database or however you follow up. I'm a person that simply, honestly, I use a notebook. I have my leads and everything, the people who I meet in a notebook. Some people have it on a contact management system. I do have a contact management system with Legal Shield that I use as well, but I also have my list that I use as well. So when you're following up with people, the last thing I really want to say about that is if you feel like you're being a little weird or if you feel like it's a little strange and you feel like it's a little too much, just know it probably is. You know, I'll tell you a great story of, I think, of an example of following up. When I moved back to San Diego, I needed to get health insurance. I called a girlfriend up and she referred me to a health insurance person. I called him up and I actually met him at a networking event. And then he said, when's the best time to follow up with you? And he followed up with me and we made an appointment. Now, he actually had to call me 3 times for me to even make an appointment with him. Now, remember, I wanted the health insurance, okay? And then once we actually made an appointment, my appointment, unfortunately, I had to cancel it because I had a conflicting another appointment that I thought was more important, so I canceled that. He actually scheduled 3 different sit-down appointments with me, and I canceled each one of those. I want to get this really clear. It's not because I didn't want it. It's not because I didn't want the insurance. It's not because I didn't want to meet him. I'm just a busy person, and that wasn't on my priority list. Something took over that. People are the same way as I am with you. You think that they don't want Legal Shield. You think they don't want to hear your story, that you think they don't want to come out to the meetings, but life gets in the way, everybody. Here's the good news. When I finally sat down with that gentleman, guess what happened? I bought the plan. I'm still got the membership or still have the health insurance today. So just know that, you know, remember how you got recruited. Remember how you were contacting, invited. Remember those things. And as you go about doing your prospecting and contacting, inviting, those stories help because we have to always have patience and compassion and meet people where they're at. Thank you guys so much. And I look forward to seeing you on the stage of Legal Shield.